Tonight we're into John chapter 18, and as you know, we begin a book and we preach through the entire book, so we're getting into the last parts of John. One of the things we said when we started this study was that we wanted to see how Jesus interacted with the people that he lived among during the days that he was here, and also that we wanted to look and see how the people reacted to him, both those who believed in him and those who did not believe in him. And so that's brought us down through all of those great and wonderful truths and stories about the resurrection of Lazarus and the feeding of the 5,000 and just so many things that Christ did in response to those around him who were struggling and hurting and going through difficult things. Wonderful ministry he had. As he walked with his 12, he shared his life with many through healing processes. Those who came to him, those who touched his garment, those that he saw around the pool, and just time and time again, he reached out and touched the lives and hearts of people. And in the process, many were healed. In the process, many came to believe in who he was. And Peter was there for all of that activity and for watching all that Jesus did and correspondingly reacting to Jesus and living with the other disciples, responding to Jesus' teaching and to his commands. So today, like last week, I want to spend a little bit more time talking about Peter. Why? Because he has such a marvelous place in the Scripture, in his relationship with Jesus and in his preaching later on, after the Spirit comes upon him, and the amazing, amazing life that he had, sharing the gospel and being taught by the Lord along the way. So I want to talk a little bit more about him today. I want to read John 18, 16 to 18, and then John 18, 25 to 27. But Peter was standing at the door outside, and so the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, Peter said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold and they were warming themselves, and Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. And then 18, 25 to 27. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." Then one of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose Peter cut off his ear, Peter then denied it again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Now this is what we tend to think of Peter. I want to tell you, this story is more known about Peter than anything else in his life. Sometimes our failures become the worst known part of our lives. And yet, often through these wonderful failures come marvelous results. When people see how you fail and then become victorious in your walk with Christ through that failure, you have a more impact on their lives than you would have as if you never failed. But we know, there's not one of us here that doesn't know that every day we fail. Every day we do something, say something, act out something, respond in some way that is a failure in relationship to our walk with Christ and the love and the grace and the mercy that ought to be filling our souls as we walk throughout the day. So I want to look at some of the other good things about Peter. Peter had some good things going on in his life. And he's got one that I'm not sure that I would have been up to it. I'm really not sure I would have been able to do what Peter did in his courage. And I want to talk about courage first. Because you see, in Peter's life, there was a great deal of courage. Sometimes to the point of doing things wrong. He was so courageous, just like cutting off the high priest's ear. Or not the high priest, but his servant's ear. A lot of courage it took him in the midst of a cohort of 600 people who had weapons. And all he had was a fisher's knife. And he reaches over, tried to take the head off this guy and misses. And takes his ear. And Jesus immediately stops it right there. Says, put it away. Don't go any further with this. And he reached over and he healed the ear of this man. Now there were a number of little miraculous things that happened when they came to get Jesus. One, when they came and he asked them who they were looking for, he said, I am. And they fell backward onto the ground because of his majesty and of who he was, God's Son. And then he asked them again, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And again he said, I am. And in the midst of all this reaction, and then Peter's reaction, and the cutting off of the ear and the healing of the ear, all of the majesty and sovereignty of God was right there present in Jesus. And yet they got up off the ground, they bound him, and they took him to trial. Didn't stop them. Didn't stop them. Let me tell you something. Except we see it by revelation, except we hear it by revelation, by the Spirit of God, except we are involved in an event by revelation, we'll not see these things either. We'll be blind to them. We have to be open, willing, and allowing the Spirit of God to teach us through the Word of God and opening our minds and our eyes and our hearts every day if we're going to see the miraculous little things that Jesus does every day in our lives. Peter revealed his courage and faith the first time in great, great, immense picture. What a wonderful picture it is. When they were caught in a storm on the sea. And they were crying out in fear. One of the things about the Sea of Galilee was that you could leave the shore and go out into the middle of the sea, and within moments, the wind comes down through there in such a way that it can raise great waves that can easily cause a boat to sink. And it doesn't take very long. And so here they are, they're out there, and they're in the boat, and Jesus is not with them. And the boat is about to sink, and they don't know what to do, and they're ready to throw everything overboard. And then they see something that scares them even worse. They see something walking on the water. It looks like a person. It acts like a person. It walks like a person. But you know, nobody walks on water, right? And yet they saw it and they thought what it was a ghost. Something from another world. And they were fearful even more. Greater the fear grew at that time. And they called out. Now, I don't even know if I'd have done that. I'd have probably got behind the oars and moved as fast as I could off that sea. But they called out, who are you? What are you? And Jesus told them who he was. Hard to believe, even for these who had walked with him, talked with him, seen the miracles he had performed. Very hard to believe. But that's it. There he was. Now here's where the courage of Peter comes in. Peter is not settled with the idea that here comes Jesus and he's coming to the boat and we're all going to be safe. He goes further. Lord, if that's really you, bid me come out on the water to meet you. I don't know about you, but remember something. What are the waves doing? The boat is doing what? And he's climbing out of the boat to put his feet on the water. Lord, you said come, so I'm coming. And he's getting out there, and he's walking on the water. You don't think that took courage?
Yes.
Far beyond most of the courage we have. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Now that little phrase has meant a lot to me over the years. And here's why. Because one of the things that I've learned as a pastor and as one who loves the Lord and wants to share and get the word out, is that sometimes the Lord will find us in a very difficult situation. And he will say, I'm here, come on. Just walk with me. Well, I know, Lord, but you're God. Me? I don't do those kind of things. I can't do those kind of things. And oftentimes we miss out on some of the greatest blessings when Jesus has said to us, come, come with me. What do you mean I have to move? Yes. Well, where are you going to take me? Follow me. Isn't that what he said to Abraham? Did he tell him where he was going? No. He may not tell you either. But just follow me, move with me, and walk with me. And if I walk on water, guess what? You will too. If I create a miracle in the midst of this situation, you'll be a part of it. If I challenge somebody's heart because you have faithfully followed me and opened your mouth when you're supposed to, and someone comes to Christ, you're part of it. Peter had a great deal of courage to climb out of that boat onto that sea that was just going every which way. Total chaos. Isn't that the way the world goes sometimes? You ever wake up in the morning and wonder how in the world you're going to get through the day? The chaos is so great. It's all around you. It's coming at you. And you don't know what's going to happen next. Well, when that happens, climb out of the boat. Climb out of the boat. You know where a boat gets the most damage? When there's a storm? Anybody know? When does a boat receive the most damage? When there's a storm. Okay. All right. It's when it's tied to the shore. It takes a beating because there's no depth of water. There's no way for the boat to move. And the damage is done. I can remember a number of years ago, we had a big earthquake in Seattle. I was working at Lockheed Shipbuilding at the time. A lot of big boats down there, if you want to call them that. Ships tied in the docks, tied up. Guess what our job was? We were the supervisors. Everybody else was sent home except the supervisors. Our job was they handed us a huge axe. And they placed each one of us beside one of those ships that was tied to the docks. With this instruction, if we get a wave coming in from this earthquake, you are to cut the ships free and let them go. Cut them loose. Why? because if they're cut loose, they will float out and they will be safer than if they're tied to the shore. There's a Christian song that we sang when I was a kid growing up. I can't even remember all the words to it, but part of it said something like this: go away from the shore. Go out into the deep. Get away from the shore, get out into the deep, and share the gospel. Live the life of Christ. Share his love. Reach out to others. But get out into the deep. Get away from the shore. That was the thrust of the song. We sang it as kids in Sunday school. Now this ship was out in the middle, on its way across. And here comes Jesus. And the ship is just all over the place, and they're fearful of their death. They're fearful of the ship going down, and Peter's climbing over the edge, to put his feet on the water, based on one thing. Based on one thing. Jesus did not say, "All right, Peter, here's how I want you to do this. You step off now, and you step over, and you put your first foot down on the water. And then you very carefully put your other foot down on the water. And then once you got yourself on the water, then let go with your left hand. And then now that you're pretty stable, let go of the right hand. And then be sure you're leaning forward because of the wind, so that you'll always be going forward." He didn't say that. He didn't say any of that. He said, "Peter, come." That's all we need. That's all we need. Someone calls you on the phone and says, "You know, I understand that you are thus and thus, and you have a ministry thus and thus, and we need you down here. Would you come?" And you go to the Lord and you say, "Lord, all of this sounds pretty chaotic, but what do you say?" And the Lord says, "Come." What do? Pack your bags. Do whatever you have to do. And you step out of the boat. And you come. I can't tell you how many times in my lifetime that the Lord has simply said to me, "Come." Without any explanation. He never explains to me why. He just says, "Come." And you know what he expects? He expects me to have the same courage that Peter had, to step out, to walk with him, and to share him wherever he wants me to be, in a way that glorifies him. You know, it wasn't just courage to do this in the daylight when the sun was shining, even though the water was turning. This was in the third watch of the night. Even in the third watch of the night, the men were scared. They thought they saw a spirit. But Jesus says, "It's just me. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's really you, then bid me come to you. Lord, if it's really you, do this. Lord, if it's really you, do this." Now, if you look at the words, he didn't just look out there after Jesus said, "It's me, don't be afraid." He didn't just look out and say, "Okay, then, Lord, call me to you. Have me come to you." There's an if there. A little bit of, "Are we sure? If, is this really you calling me? If it's you, Lord, then bid me come. If it's you, And then he said, come. Now, we could spend a lot of time on just what took place in his stepping out of the boat, getting on the water, going toward Jesus, and how that miracle and that miraculous moment happened. But it happened for a couple of reasons. One, because God, through Christ, commanded it. Two, that Peter trusted enough in his Lord to step out of that boat against all odds of ever living again, and did so, and then began to walk. You cannot sit in the pew or in your house or in your comfortable life and just watch all this go by when the Lord is saying, come. I'll have to get out of that comfortable place. I'll have to be a little bit uncomfortable. I'll have to be willing, even if necessary, to sink a little bit. Because you see, that's what happened to Peter. He did step out. He did get on the water. He did start walking. And then he did something he shouldn't have done. He started looking at his surroundings rather than Jesus Christ. Instead of looking in the face of our Lord. Do you know something? If you are looking into the face of the Lord and you're focused on Him and you're focused on His life in you and you're focused on that day after day, you will do miracles in the name of Jesus. You will. God will use you and bless you and challenge you and correct you. He will do that because your focus is upon Him. Your life is pointed at Him. But the minute you take your eyes off of that and start looking at events, or even people for that matter, or situations, and you see the chaos, then the fear comes. When the fear comes, you're no longer walking on water. You're starting to sink. And as you begin to sink, I hope you have the sense that Peter had. Because Peter didn't just say, oh, but now I got to swim back to the boat. Didn't do that. He cried out to God, Lord, save me, for I'm perishing. And Jesus reached out and picked him up and brought him to himself. And there's the two of them standing on the water. Now, there's a little worry here. How do we get back to the boat? Well, we walk. Peter had to walk and experience that walk with Jesus from where Jesus was to the boat, side by side with the Lord's hand upon him. What a testimony to the courage of the heart of this man who was always getting in trouble one kind or another. Some people have said to me, oh dear, I don't know what I'm going to do with my children. I have one in particular. I just can't seem to control. They have energy beyond any energy I can imagine. I can't keep up with them. They're always getting into trouble, always under control. Here's the beauty of it. And I always say to them, here's the answer. Put them in Jesus' hands. Help them walk. But know this, all that energy, all that excitement, all that willingness to do and be active, pointed toward Christ, brings someone into a place where they will grow into great ministry in their lives. A number of years ago, I attended Prairie Bible Institute. And when I went there, I went my first year. I didn't go to Bible school. First year, I went there for my last year of high school. I was flunking in the high school I was attending. I had no interest in anything. I was just kind of blowing it off. And so I decided I needed to go. God was calling. I was hearing this come. And it was a long ways from home. I'd never been away from home. But I was going to go, so I went. And I went to this high school. And some of the teachers took hold of me in that high school, and they wouldn't let go of me. And they just turned everything around, and soon I was making A's in all my classes. I finally learned how to study, which I never knew how to do before. And there was just a lot of reasons. These two teachers, one male, one female, got a hold of me and before school and after school and before classes, whatever, and constantly showing me and training me, and what a glorious, glorious thing that was. But that is all to say this. There was another fellow in the same place I was the last year of high school. He was the principal's son, the principal or the main leader of the Bible school was his son. And he was in trouble all the time. It was always, not a day went by that he wasn't brought before the carpet. It wasn't a day went by that he wasn't punished for what he had been involved in. But he kept involved in everything. And over a period of 2 years, I saw this change take place. And he ended up on the mission field, serving the Lord. And he served the Lord in the mission field for 10 years. Came back and took his father's place as CEO and principal of Prairie Bible Institute. And he had the most energy. He had the most desire. He was the most active. But when pointed in the right direction, God used him mightily on the mission field and at home in training other missionaries to go out and to carry the message of life and hope. And I learned the lesson. When you have a child like that, what a blessing that child is. Now, get past what the frustrations are and get them following the Lord. And you'll be amazed at what comes out of their life, how they serve the Lord in the days ahead. Bring up a child in the way he or she should go. And believe me, only a parent knows the way he or she should go. What I mean by that is, it isn't all the same. Every child is different. There are some of my children that I prayed that God would put into the ministry. Never did. I prayed for others that they would be blessed and favored in other areas of their life, and they have been. It depends on the child. And when God says, come. To whatever God says, come. There's nothing more exciting than just going everywhere, going anywhere, and running into Christian people who have served the Lord, who have just been blessed of the Lord, and sharing some time with them. Yesterday, Pat and I went up, most of you know from having watched Facebook, went up and watched up at Woodridge to watch the Blue Angels. Now, I can't get out and walk around, so I didn't do that. I stayed in the car in the nice air conditioning. And I parked my car in just the right way so when the Angels came over, I could see them right in front of me. Pat got out, bumming around. Pretty soon she came over with this couple. She says, do you know who this is? I said, well, looks familiar, but I'm not sure. Well, it was Chucky and his wife. And they were up there watching the Blue Angels. Charlie's son. Good to see you, Charlie. And so we had a conversation. We talked and shared. We hadn't seen each other for a while, which is wonderful. Then there was another car drove up. the people got out. And I recognized one of them, Christian lady, went over to talk to them. Whole family, loved the Lord, used to have a Bible study right up there in Woodridge, serving the Lord. We'd find out what they're doing, what's going on in their lives. What a glorious thing to hear how God has said to them, come this way, do this, not always the way we think it's going to happen. But the courage of Peter is a courage that we need to ask God for in our own lives. Be faithful, courageous, step out of that comfortable boat, even though the waters are raging. But keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you don't and you start to slip, you know who to call. Call him. Why? Because he loves you. And he loves me. And he loves us in a way that you and I will never understand in this world completely. But what a joy to know that he died for me. He went to the cross. He paid a price that I might have life. And he rose again to give me that life, that I might live it each day where I am, courageously. Now, so we've talked about his courage. We'll talk about the other in the next few Sundays. As you noticed, since I've been on Peter, I've never finished a sermon yet. There's just so much there for him and for us to see.